Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
And Jesus said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. Did you ever have that teacher who was the strict grammarian? You know, the one who, if you dared say, even in passing, respond to how are you with good, they would let you never live it down. How dare you say good and not well, young man? Which, ironically enough, meant that in the moment you were neither well nor good. Now, technically speaking, though this is somewhat controversial, either are actually okay. We can say how I am well or I am good because one is an adjective and one is an adverb, so it depends on what you're modifying in the sentence. And while that's all well and good, let's stick with the well for a moment. Sound good? Because the truth is, most of us could use a little more focus on what it means to be well these days, couldn't we? Because the truth is, it doesn't matter if we say well or good if we don't actually mean either. And for some of us, let's be honest, it's been a while. We'd like to blame it on the pandemic, and maybe there's something to it. The last few years have been some of the hardest in recent memory. But it's not just that. The pandemic may have exacerbated some of our challenge around wellness, but it didn't start it. No, the problem was there from long before that moment. The truth is, not all of us are well. Or at least not as well as we'd like to be. We may be well physically, but not emotionally or financially or vocationally. We may be well emotionally, but not physically or spiritually or socially. And the kicker is that we don't always know exactly where to turn when we're struggling. Not that there aren't some places to go. Fortunately for us, we live in a world where there are plenty of options now for us. Over the past few years, for better or worse, and mostly better, an entire industry around wellness has risen up, and we would do well to pay attention. We can all learn something from the practices of wellness, from social science, from psychology, even from chemistry. But let us not forget that we all got dressed up or tuned in this morning because we are people of faith. And though it may have been a while since we really thought of it this way, believe it or not, in the long history of our faith, wellness has long been at the center, mind, body, and spirit. In other words, maybe if we pay attention to it, our faith could still make us well. Now look, it makes sense that we're all struggling a little bit. It seems like everywhere we turn these days, the world is falling apart. The planet is in peril. The threat of nuclear war is looming. White nationalism, like authoritarianism, is on the rise. And that gap between those who have and those who have not only seems to be widening. Add to that all the stuff we're dealing with personally, our own stuff, and it makes sense that we might be struggling, even the most faithful among us might be struggling in this moment. But as a people of faith, we do have a sort of hidden advantage. Sometimes literally, that is, one of the foundations of our faith, one of the promises of Jesus Christ is that we're not in this alone. That none of us have to carry it all on our shoulders alone, that there is more at work in this world than meets the eye. Or as the wellness coach to whom I'm married likes to put it, there's a reason wellness begins with we. Because even the idea that we're not in this alone makes us stronger. Maybe you know the story about the man who drove his truck into a ditch and had to walk up to the nearest farm to ask for a little hand, hoping that the farmer had a tractor or something. Much to his chagrin, the farmer said, "Well, my tractor's broken, but I do have my mule, Old Blue, out back. He might be able to help." The man looked skeptical, but the farmer just smiled and said, "You don't know Old Blue." So they walked Old Blue down and they tied the chain around the truck and tied it to Old Blue, and the farmer cracked the whip and said, "Come on, Blue!" And the chain grew taut, but the truck did not move. And then the farmer cracked the whip again and said, "Come on, Mac!" And the truck began to move a couple of inches. And then the farmer cracked the whip a third time and said, "Come on, Maud!" And the truck pulled right out of the ditch. The man was so grateful, he turned to the farmer, "Thank you so much. Why did you call the mule by three different names?" And the farmer said, "Well, Old Blue was blind. If he thought he was pulling this on his own, that truck would still be in the ditch." Sometimes even the idea that we're not in this alone is enough to give us strength to do things that we never thought was possible. The good news is that as a people of faith, we're not in this alone. We may not be able to see the people standing with us, but know that they are there. That is a part of being here. And maybe that's enough for someone out there today to take another step toward wellness. But if it's not, let's turn to the story. In the story, we have 10 people with skin disease, what we'll call lepers for today, who are made clean. But one was made well. 10 were made clean, but one, a Samaritan, was made well. Now, our gospel lesson for today comes from the gospel according to Luke, which some will remember from a couple of weeks ago, means that it's the gospel that is trying to include as many people as possible, like Jesus is the Savior of the world, not some of the world, but all of the world, Jew and Greek alike. Only in this passage, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, but passing through that place between Galilee and Samaria. And anytime we hear Samaria or Samaritan, our antennae ought to go up, because we recognize that in the ancient world, the Samaritans were loathed. They were despised. They had nominally, of course, been Jewish, but then because they had interbred during the time of the exile, the Jewish leaders of the day cast them out. They were outsiders. So for the readers of Luke's gospel, to hear a Samaritan was automatically a moment to say an outsider, one who is despised. One wonders who Luke would write about if he were writing today. In the story, Jesus is in between Samaria and Galilee. And as so often happens when we are at the borderland, he encountered people on the margins. In this case, 10 lepers. Now, just to recap this little moment of exposition, we are in a territory where everyone is an outsider, where they are religiously and ethnically set aside. And within that group, we find the most ostracized among them, those physically and socially ostracized, the lepers, the people who are at the gates. It is hard to imagine a group that would struggle more with wellness. And as Jesus enters the city, the 10 lepers are said to cry out, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And he does. He sends them off to go show themselves to the priests, and as they were on their way, we're told they were made clean. The semantics here do seem important. It doesn't say that they were healed. It says that they were made clean, and maybe in that difference lies a little hope for us. See, not everything that plagues us in this world can be healed with a snap of the fingers or a long enough prayer. Now, sometimes we have to suffer through it. There's no guarantee as a people of faith that we're not going to find some moments where we are brought up short. There's no guarantee that we're not going to suffer, that we're not going to have struggles from time to time. The promise of our faith is not only that we won't have to face them alone, but that those struggles don't get to determine who we are. Don't you see? You are, I am, we are more than our struggles. Maybe somebody needs to hear that this morning. Maybe that's the roadblock to wellness for someone out there who is so focused on the struggles that are right in front of them that they can't see their way towards anything else. Well, the good news of the gospel is you are more than your struggles. You are more than the things that you're holding on to. And we can have all of those things that we think will make it okay. There's a whole industry that will tell us what those are. But we can have all those things and still find ourselves empty. Maybe there's a deeper well for us to draw from. The wellness of grace. Look, not all of us, truth be told, have a path to physical wellness or social wellness or maybe even emotional wellness. But we all have grace. And grace is that promise that there's nothing you can do or say to lose the love of God. It was there before you were born, before you did anything, because you don't do anything to deserve it. You're more than your grades. You're more than the name that goes on your plate. You're more than the car you drive or what's in your bank account or the house you live in. You're more than the things you achieve or the moments you fail. You matter not because of what you do, but because of who you are. Young and old, black and white, gay and straight, male and female, rich and poor, broken and whole, Republican and Democrat, trans and cis, and everyone beyond in between, we all have the grace of God. That's what makes it amazing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. If we could all embrace that grace, that promise that we are enough just as we are, then maybe we can take that other step towards wellness. Though admittedly, for all of us, it might take just one more. Fortunately, there is another step in the story. See, all 10 were made clean. That is, could finally see themselves as worthy in God's sight. But only one was made well. We're told a Samaritan turned around to praise God and to give thanks to Jesus. A Samaritan, ding, 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 ding. That is the outsider, the one who everyone else reviled, one who everyone else despised. He was the one who turned around to say, thank you. Now, maybe they were all Samaritans. We don't know. But in the story, Luke goes out of his way to tell us that this one man was a Samaritan. Jesus says, were not all 10 made clean, but only 9? And where did what happened to the other 9? Only one could turn around to praise God and to give thanks. And in that moment, Jesus says, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. In the moment of gratitude, he was made well. Are you grateful for anything? It's so easy to get caught up in all that which we really resent in our lives, isn't it? All the things, all the burdens we carry, our yoke is heavy. We have to carry all of those things with us to forget that there are perhaps some things, aren't there, that we can be grateful for, some blessings in our life. What might it look like to just shift our thinking a little bit? Not that the other things go away. They don't. They're still there. We still have to deal with them. But what would it look like if our outlook shifted just a little bit, that we might focus for a moment on that for which we are grateful? What are the things in your life for which you're grateful? Who are the people in your life for which you are grateful? Have you told them? Who knows how that might shift our lives? Friends, our faith can make us well. We have to let it. We have to be open to it. If it seems hard, you're not in it alone. That's one of the promises of faith. It's why we have new members joining. It's why we baptize children. It's why we come week after week and endure a sermon, because we know that we can't do this alone. And maybe together, if we are struggling individually together, we can find our way by reminding each other that it's not all on our shoulders, by grounding each other in grace, and by pointing each other over and over again towards the life which is promised in Christ, a life grounded in love, a life that can't help but be good or well. Friends, if you are struggling to answer the question, how are you this morning? Take heart. You are not alone. And together our faith can make us well. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.